And what I wanted to do this morning is to talk a little bit about Jesus, and talk a little bit about one of the incidents in his life that the Gospels record. Now, in our New Testament, we're really fortunate because we've got four separate testimonies to the Lord Jesus and to his life and his teaching and what he did. And because we've got Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. And Mark's Gospel, we're going to read from that this morning. It's the smallest of the Gospels. And in Mark's Gospel, Mark starts off really by the very beginning of the ministry of Jesus, when he starts, when he has his disciples around him and he starts to teach and to heal and so on. So we don't have any birth stories in Mark. He just gets right down to where Jesus began to teach and so on. And Mark's Gospel is quite a sort of fast-flowing gospel, and he's taking us from one incident to another and it gives us quite a dynamic picture of the life of the Lord Jesus, as well as his death and why he died, and again how God raised him from the dead. So what I want to do this morning is look at an incident in the life of the Lord Jesus that shows us something about him that I think is really quite special. But, you know, we see it so often in everything that he did. And it's the compassion of Jesus. You know, quite often we hear this word today, passion. You know, I'm passionate about this, passionate about that. And international companies are suddenly passionate about serving us in all kinds of ways, and of course wanting our money for the services they provide. You know, passionate about this and that. But we don't hear just so much about compassion. Compassion. We have a 15-year-old daughter, and I try to teach her, I try to expand her vocabulary and try to sort of feed her words and things, because she doesn't seem to read that much these days, and that worries me. And every now and again, you know, I'll use a word and things, and she'll say, "Dad, what does that mean?" And then suddenly, you know, I realise, you know, I sort of know what it means, but to explain what it means, it's actually quite difficult. So I thought what I'd do is I'd go to the dictionary and have a look at compassion and just see what the dictionary says about compassion. And this is Collins English Dictionary. And it says this: compassion, it's a feeling of distress or a feeling of pity for the suffering or the misfortune of someone else, and often including the desire to alleviate it or to do something about that. And so, you know, when we use this word compassion, we're talking about someone who has a feeling for other people that are maybe going through difficulty and can sort of feel the pain of that with them. And sometimes, of course, if that compassion is accompanied by action and by love and concern, really trying to do something about it as well. And what we see in the life of Jesus is again and again and again that kind of compassion coming out of him, reaching out to other people around. And so, you know, before we look at the life of the Lord Jesus in that, I'm just going to read a verse from one of the Psalms in the Old Testament. And quite often I come across people who say, "Oh, well, you know, the Old Testament, that gives a sort of really negative picture of God. And then you come to the New Testament and then you've got a nice picture of Jesus." Well, that's actually quite a dangerous way of looking at things. And the Old Testament actually tells us a lot about God and tells us how God is love, how God is faithful. He's certainly a judge as well. And he loves justice and righteousness and so on, and will judge injustice. But also what we find in the Old Testament again and again and again, that God is described as someone who is compassionate. And in Psalm 116, I'll just read it to you, in verse 5, this is what the writer of the psalm says, and this is how he describes God. It says, "The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion." And of course, we know that when we understand that God the Father And then we have Jesus, the Son. And we see that Jesus is in fact deity, shares deity with the Father. We understand that what we see in Jesus is in fact the character of deity, of God himself. And so we see the Lord Jesus, he demonstrates compassion. I'm going to read just a couple of verses from Mark chapter 6. First of all, just to show you what I mean. And if you have a Bible and you want to turn to it, you can read these verses with me. But in verse 30 of Mark chapter 6, Mark is describing a scene where the Lord Jesus has been, he's been very busy teaching and preaching, and then he's heard that his good friend John the Baptist has been beheaded and has been killed. And then in verse 30, it says this: the apostles, the disciples, they gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. And then because so many people were coming and going that they didn't even have a chance to eat, Jesus said to his disciples, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat. At that time, it was around the Lake Galilee, and so they climbed into a boat and they would probably cut across and go somewhere quiet. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. And when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. And so what Mark is describing here is at a time when Jesus was so busy with people and busy serving them, busy teaching them and so on. And he says to his disciples, right, you know, we need a rest. And they got into a boat and they sailed just about, cutting off a little bit of the corner of Lake Galilee. And as they were heading to a quiet place and the boat got in to the side of the shore, thinking that they were going to just have a little bit of quiet time, a bit of downtime, a bit of off-duty time that I'm sure they deserved. And then they arrived at this quiet place and they found this massive crowd waiting for them. I think if it had been me, I would have thought, oh no, the last thing I want is to be with a whole crowd of people again. I need a rest. But Jesus was so full of compassion that he looked at that crowd. He saw them, they were like people that were lost, like sheep without a shepherd. He had compassion on them and he started to teach them again. And so what I'd like to do this morning is look at another amazing example of the compassion of Jesus and to show how deep this compassion went, where Jesus actually, in this incident we're going to look at, he really did the unthinkable. And he was smashing through the social mores of the day and the social acceptabilities of the day, and where he actually identified with the unidentifiable. And it's coming from the very beginning of Mark's Gospel in chapter 1. And this is an incident that Mark tells us where Jesus healed a man who had a very serious and infectious disease called leprosy. We still have leprosy in the world today. There are agencies, mission agencies like the Leprosy Mission in Scotland and so on that help to provide resources to try to completely eradicate this disease. But it's still around in different parts and it still carries the same sort of stigma that it did in the first century Mediterranean world. And so Mark, he tells us about this incident when someone with leprosy came to the Lord Jesus. And I'll read it from verse 40 Mark chapter 1 and verse 40. Now just imagine we're in the Middle East. Just imagine we're in round about the Mediterranean, and it's hot and it's dusty and there's crowds all around, and people are following this teacher Jesus, and they're listening to his words, and they're seeing the kind of things that he does. And then suddenly in all the crowds there's this person that is absolutely racked with an infectious disease, with the dreaded leprosy, and people soon cleared the way. And it says this in verse 40. A man with leprosy came to Jesus and begged him on his knees, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. And Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, to the religious authorities, and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, the man went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. And as a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. And yet the people still came to him from everywhere. I'm sure God will bless to us the public reading of his inspired word. And so what we have here is an example, and Mark tells it really beautifully. We could always imagine that we are there in the crowd and the heat and so on, and people are gathering and sort of flocking around Jesus, wanting to listen to his teaching and so on. And here what we find is this person that's so obviously got this dreaded infectious disease, leprosy, and he's coming along the road and he's coming towards Jesus. And you know, this is a real challenge for us today, what happened in this incident and the way that Jesus dealt with it. And I've got three little headings here, and the first one is this, is that Christ loved the unlovable. Jesus loved the unlovable. Now the term leprosy in the Bible, the way it's used, it covers a whole lot of skin diseases and complaints, from I suppose just ordinary sort of skin, sort of psoriasis type things, right through to the very serious forms of leprosy. And it does seem that this man was in a bad way, and maybe, you know, with leprosy having been quite advanced, and the reaction of the other people around meant that he definitely was in a bad way. Just imagine in a world where there is no NHS, where there is no GP system, and particularly if you don't have any resources and you're not wealthy, which would be the case of most people in these days throughout the Roman Empire and this part of the world. So there was no cure for what you had, and so you would just actually begin to get worse and worse and worse. And this man certainly had a serious disease. That kind of leprosy, you know, it what happened was it began to rot the skin and then the nerve ends, and people didn't have any feeling. So if they bumped into something or if there was boiling water over them, they eventually wouldn't feel it. And then they would begin to get completely disfigured. And then, of course, the rotting skin would smell. And of course, there would be an awful sight to look at, and no one would want to go near them. That was what leprosy did. And of course, people avoided them. To love someone with leprosy like this needed compassion. And it was this kind of compassion that consumed the Lord Jesus. And it seems to me that he was angry at the terrible damage that sin does. Because at the end of the day, all these diseases are caused by sin. And leprosy, quite often in the Bible, is compared to sin. And so there's a sense in which, you know, when we look at this, all of us, although we might be quite healthy physically, there's a sense in which we too, the Bible tells us, are actually, we're sinners before God, and we need to be forgiven. And the Lord Jesus, he looks on the ugly disfigurement of this man and how it's affected him physically and emotionally and spiritually and psychologically, and sometimes too in our sinful behaviour. That can help, that can actually affect us. So we're just listening to the story of Mary Slessor and Mary Slessor's dad, who obviously was addicted to alcohol, and how that affected his life and affected the family's life, and probably ended up too with him having a premature death, and how often these things do affect us in every way. And yet when Jesus looked on this man, he was filled with compassion. And you know, I think it's possible at times for us to feel unlovable. And sometimes, you know, it's possible for us to think that as we are, it's not possible for Jesus to really love us. And I remember being involved with a little group of people from a thing called Stouros. And Stouros is a sort of a Christian-based Alcoholics Anonymous. Actually, it's wider than that. People with any kind of addiction is able to go there. And I remember speaking to a man once, and he was saying, you know, he said, before I came to believe in Jesus Christ, I was absolutely convinced that God would never love me the way that I am. And I had to somehow or other make myself better and make myself sort of lovable in a sense. And he said, then I began to realise that I could never ever do that. And he said, and then the penny dropped and I realised that God loved me as I was. And he said, that astounded me. You know, the compassion of God towards all of us, that he loves us as we are. And that's why Paul, the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, he wrote to the church in Rome in the first century, and he said that God demonstrates his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And you know, sometimes we sort of feel, well, we need to do something, we need to make ourselves more lovable, we need to do something to merit the salvation and the forgiveness that's in Jesus. But no, we can't do that, because Jesus has died on the cross so that we could be forgiven our sins. He's done the work. And so we see in this the compassion of Jesus towards the one with leprosy. And you know, we shouldn't be waiting until we think we're more lovable. Jesus loves us now as we are. But here's a big challenge to those of us who claim to be followers of Jesus. How much compassion do we have? Do we really love the unlovable? Do we try to love those who are difficult to love? And every church has someone who's difficult to love. Every family has someone within the family who's particularly difficult to love. And of course, in our street and wherever we are and wherever God has placed us, there are at times neighbours or people who are difficult to love. Now, that's a challenge. The compassion of Jesus as it reaches out to someone. Jesus loved the unlovable. And then the second thing is that Jesus touched the untouchable. What do we mean by that, Derek? Well, you see, I think those that were watching this incident, there would be crowds around following Jesus and wanting to know what he was going to be doing next. And I think these crowds would have been shocked at what happened. You see, in the Old Testament, there were very strict rules about how someone with leprosy should behave, because it was a highly infectious disease. The community had to be protected, and so someone who had leprosy, and there was no medicine and no doctors and nothing that could do anything about this, so when they had this kind of leprosy, well, in order to prevent its spread and the whole community contracting the disease, people with leprosy, they had very, very strict laws they had to adhere to. Because someone with leprosy was not just physically dying, it was much more than that. They were actually socially dead. In Leviticus chapter 13, it gives rules for people with leprosy. It says that there were to be no mixing and mingling in the community, that they were to wear clothes that were old and torn. They were to keep their mouths covered all the time, and wherever they went, they were to shout, "Unclean! Unclean!" And so in many ways, it was a humiliating situation in which they had social isolation. People with leprosy, of course, had to be avoided. And as this man came and approached the Lord Jesus and shouted to him and said to him, you can heal me. And then, you know, as he drew near Jesus, and I can just imagine the crowds all sort of kind of taking a few steps back, and this man approaches Jesus, and then people must have been shocked because Jesus, he reached out his arm, that's bad enough, but he kept reaching it out, and he actually touched the man with leprosy. And that's something that no one would ever have done. He touched the man with leprosy. Here's a challenge to us. Do we really draw near to those that we don't really care for? Do we draw near to those that others avoid? Now, when we lived in Istanbul, I discovered something I knew in my head, but I had never really experienced. In the UK, we have a thing that we call personal space. We don't like people getting too close to us. You know, if someone approaches us, now and again there are people that sort of approach us and they get really close and you feel as though they're invading your personal space. And you sort of kind of take a little step back. Well, in Turkey and Middle Eastern cultures, there's no such thing as personal space. People come up close, people touch you, people, you know, and so on. And if you can do something with 10 people rather than one, well, you do it with 10 and so on. And everybody's all sort of together and quite close together and so on. And I remember being on a bus in downtown Istanbul. And I sometimes smile when people here talk about buses being busy in the rush hour. You've never ever seen buses like these in Istanbul. And these buses were called bendy buses, you know, that had a sort of concertina type thing in the middle, and it was quite a long bus. And I remember, so there were three doors, one at the front and another couple. And I remember being in this bus, and it was so packed full. We're all standing like that, sat like sardines. Anyway, it was fine because as the bus was swinging about, there is no way that anyone could have fallen because there was nowhere to fall. In fact, your feet at times hardly even touched the floor. It was so tightly packed. And when that happened, the bus driver, he would stop at a bus stop and then open the middle doors to allow people out who wanted out. But he wouldn't open the front one to let more in because it just wasn't physically possible. I remember once he stopped. He opened the middle doors. And then here who should sneak into one of the middle doors was a tramp. And I sort of down and out. And that man really smelled. And there was a sort of a collective kind of intake of breath throughout the whole bus. And suddenly, this man had personal space. Nobody wanted to touch him. Nobody wanted to touch him. I rather think that if Jesus had been on that bus, he wouldn't have had an intake of breath, and he would have been perfectly happy to stand next to the man who was deemed by society to be untouchable. Touching the untouchables. And then finally, Jesus healed the unhealable. There's a sense in which we are powerless, but Jesus is not, because Jesus can change lives. In those days, leprosy, of course, was regarded as incurable, and it was incurable then. And the Jewish teachers, the religious teachers, they had a saying, curing leprosy and raising the dead are both impossible. Do you know that Jesus did both these things? He cured people who had leprosy, and he raised the dead. Jesus did the impossible. You see, often today the Lord Jesus is only regarded as, you know, you often hear it, "Oh yes, yes, I believe Jesus was a good man. Love your enemies and so on. Yes, good teaching, good moral teacher. and so on. But the fact of the matter is that Mark and Matthew and Luke and John, in their Gospels, in their portrayal of Jesus, they are showing the readers of these Gospels, right up until you and me today, that Jesus was much, much more than a good moral teacher and a good man. That Jesus is, in fact, the Son of God, who would go to the cross and die for our sins, so that those who believe in him might have forgiveness and peace with God and a relationship with God through Jesus. And that is good news. And so, for those who claim to follow the Lord Jesus, there's a big challenge here. Do we really love the unlovable? Are we prepared to touch the untouchables? Of course, only the Lord Jesus can heal those who are unhealable. He can bring us and he can heal us and change us and turn our lives around to such a degree that we live to please him, to please God, and to bring glory to his name. So this is the Lord Jesus. This is Jesus Christ, whom the Gospels present, the Son of God, the one who is filled with compassion. May the Lord help each of us to have that same kind of compassion that the Lord Jesus had towards others. And if you've never ever experienced the compassion of the Lord Jesus, I pray that today, that through his Holy Spirit, we would really sense and feel and know and experience the compassion and the love of the Lord Jesus to each of us.